It's time for 41 is the Mic, a weekly Chiefs podcast with Nick Jacobs of KSHB 41 and Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest. 41 is the Mic starts now.
Welcome, everyone, to an emergency bonus podcast of 41 is the Mic. I am Matt Derrick with Chiefs Digest alongside contract enthusiast Nick Jacobs.
Yes.
Nick? Yes. We thought we were just going to wrap up the draft today with Brett Veach, and instead we got a little Kelce bomb dropped on us with Travis Kelce getting some more money. We're still getting all the details. Right now it looks like the Chiefs have given Travis a $4 million raise over the next two seasons, added about $17.25 million in guarantees, which previously he had no guarantees. At least right now it looks like the contract's been extended for two more years for salary cap purposes, but it looks like the 26 and 27 might be void years or years just used to extend the cap. So I think you'd look at this contract extension right now, Nick, and say, okay, Travis Kelce's planning on being in Kansas City for at least two more years.
Yeah, I think this one shows their appreciation for everything he's done there, and they want to give him that recognition and give him that honor among tight ends in the league so nobody can say he's underpaid as a tight end. And on top of it, it seems like the organization collectively is wanting to reward everybody who's been a pillar of making them get to this level of success. And that includes Andy Reid, Brett Veach, Mark Donovan, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones. So like each one of those people that have been pillars of this organization, it seems like all got pay raises for helping them succeed with, you know, six AFC Conference championship appearances, three Super Bowl wins at this point, and just kind of putting the Chiefs on the map in not only in a national sense, but in a global sense too. And, you know, who Travis is spending his time with didn't hurt the organization either, and getting some of that global recognition and appeal.
Yeah, I think you also hit on a great point, which is that I think it would be really difficult to give raises and extensions to Andy Reid, Brett Veach, Mark Donovan. I mean, last year you did it for Mahomes and put some money in. I think it would be very difficult to reward all those people and not reward Travis Kelce. Chris Jones obviously got his deal too. So, Yeah, I mean, not leaving Travis out of that would be kind of a blow. So, I mean, he's been just as much, if not a part of it, and obviously longer than all the other players have. He's been here from the very beginning with Andy Reid and Brett Veach, so he's just as much of that triumvirate as they are.
Yeah, that's the biggest part of the whole thing, is like he's part of Andy Reid's. He's the final remaining player of Andy Reid's first draft class here. And as you reminded me, and I'd forgotten about, one of the players I did in my mock draft to the Chiefs, him and Eric Fisher. So I at least got two out of however many picks they had right that year. And that was the year they traded for Alex Smith, so there wasn't a second rounder. Otherwise, I would have put Travis as a second rounder because he was that good of a tight end. But yeah, no, I mean, it just like Travis, just the way he's grown here since he became, the second overall draft pick of Andy Reid's tenure. It's just like, I don't know. You just watch a guy grow from fresh out of college into adulthood, and you know, with the way he puts his life out there on new heights. And part of the way his life is put out there, whether by choice or not, for, you know, off his relationship off the field, like he handles it so well. He does. He's a really good representative for Kansas City, for the Chiefs, and for the organization, and just kind of that maturation process that he's had. Like it's just been, you know, it's been fun to watch, and it's just been interesting to watch over time, and just kind of watch him grow and become the player and the person that he is, and a future Chiefs Hall of Famer on top of a hopefully Hall of Famer in general.
I did ask when Travis Kelce was going to be available, and got a very interesting answer in that he is going to be available during OTAs, which would tell us that he is going to be here at some point during those 10 OTA practices. He released a video through the Chiefs, you know, thanking everybody for the contract extension and mentioning he was on the field today. Brett Veach mentioned that he was on the field. Players are starting to come in this week from around to start their off-season workouts. It won't be until May 20th that the full team workouts begin, and that's when you can really do the third phase, when you can do those full team workouts. And there were some questions about, you know, whether at this point in his career, and obviously with Taylor touring, whether or not Travis would be here for all of OTAs, but I'm told at least he's going to be here for enough to do a media appearance, and then obviously the mandatory mini camp in June, we would expect him probably to be here for too. But that at least answers a question about whether Travis will apparently be here for OTAs, at least part of them. I do know that Patrick will probably miss at least an OTA or two. Both these guys have a lot of off-the-field commitments. And remember, OTAs are voluntary. So missing an OTA practice or two doesn't worry anybody. And if anything, you know, just worrying about it just ticks off Andy Reid. So you're just better off not worrying about it, Nick.
I wasn't going to worry about it. As long as they're there in July, that's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe was there any, hey, we're going to give Travis a bump up, so maybe he'll come in for a couple of OTA days? I don't know. But we know we'll see him at some point, so we'll get to hear from him sometime in the next month about his contract and just about him. So we will get to see Travis here in Kansas City at some point. That was a big deal. I mean, it is a big deal to get that done for Travis. One thing I think we should probably move into next is that, you know, getting Travis done is kind of step one towards getting some other contracts done. So what's next for Brett Veach? I mean, he kind of drew a line between getting to Travis's contract adjustment, let's call it. I mean, it's an extension too, it looks like, but getting that done and then drawing a line to Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and Nick Bolton, as Brett Veach says, there's a runway now to start working on extensions with those guys between now and the beginning of the season.
I love the fact that you called it an adjustment. You make it sound like it's going to the chiropractor and you're like, all right, and yep, back in alignment.
Hey, Brett called it an adjustment first. So
yeah, no, it's just funny, just that imagery that comes in my head as a chiropractor making a slight adjustment and your back's cracked into place. Nailed it.
Your Travis Kelce has been cracked back into place.
Yeah. So first part is, I think Travis, I haven't really kept up on New Heights, but I listen to it whenever it's in football season mode, but I know they've got stuff going on. I do want to see the Cincinnati one though, when they were on campus. I think that one will be interesting. I'm sure Travis will talk about it on there because Jason's got to talk about, you know, his new opportunity at ESPN. For the Kelce family, you know, it's going pretty well right now, but they've earned it and they deserve it. So it's great for both those guys. I'll be interested. I mean, you start working numbers with all of them if you can, with Creed, with Trey, with Bolton, and you try to slowly work on that between now until October. And, you know, you kind of like, it's not so, I mean, if they get it done quick, hey, that's great. But for the most part, like, you know, that's kind of, you're wanting to stretch it out and try to have that done before Thanksgiving, if you can, in an ideal world. So, but you start having those talks now and try to work through those. And then, you know, with what they did draft wise, it gives them some fallback if what Trey and Creed's agents' representation are wanting versus what the Chiefs can make fit for everybody in 2025. And I say 2025 because 2026 and 2027, there's a lot of cap room because there's not many people under contract. So, like, you can make those work. It's just a matter of what can you fit under the 2025 and kind of estimate overall in terms of what you want to do financially and how you want to play that game of contract chairs.
Yeah, people always get mad at me when I bring this up, so I'll just encourage everybody to get mad at me because the cap is not real. We don't know what the cap will be, but in 2026, I mean, right now the Chiefs do have $118 million in cap space. Now, they also have $164 million in spending for 2026, and off the top of my head, I want to say $100 million of that is Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right now we don't know what Travis's number for that would be. I mean, it may just be, like we said, 26 may be a void year for him on this new deal. So we'll see. He'll certainly would have some of the, I'm sure signing bonuses included in his deal that will kick some of that over the next 4 years. But you can spend as much as future money as you want to because the cap is fake, right, Nick?
No, it's not in the owner's pocketbooks. what they pay for some of those bonuses and everything and escrow, they know it's definitely not fake either. So, but I totally get that concept that people think that because, you know, it's a lot easier to spend other people's money.
And we were talking about this off air, and I'll bring it on, and I'll wear this one. I mean, you've got plenty of beefs, Chiefs fans, because hey, I don't want to pay $60 for parking either. So hey, there's no doubt. I mean, Clark is still charging you some money to see these games. But for anybody who's been concerned about the Hunt family not putting enough money into the team sometimes, this offseason, Clark has broken out the checkbook. They have broken it out and gotten, especially, I mean, really look at it over the last 12 months. I mean, they've put the money into Mahomes, Jones, now Kelsey, their front office. I mean, you can't say, and with the other, I mean, bringing back everybody on defense, can't really say that they're not putting their checkbook into the team right now.
Yeah, they're invested in on-the-field product, which is, at the end of the day, that's what creates good morale. And when you see the right teammates and, again, the right leaders getting that money, that's what it kind of inspires you to keep kind of doing the same thing in that process. And you want to see the hard workers get rewarded and the people that are the backbone of any team or organization get that compensation and get that recognition, because without them, you're not a championship caliber squad.
And, you know, and I guess we kind of glossed over it a little bit, but I'm just kind of going over and looking to see if there's anything we missed with the Travis deal that we wanted to touch on. I mean, obviously one thing to point out is that this deal does make him the highest paid tight end in the league. And that's been something that I know there was one point said that it's the first time he's ever been the highest paid tight end. I feel like he was the highest paid tight end for maybe a couple of weeks or a few days at one point when he had a restructure done. But the contracts move so quickly. But, I mean, now, I mean, the Chiefs have taken care of him. I mean, they have made Travis the highest paid tight end in the league, and that's something that the title that he absolutely has deserved. So any other bows that we should put on Travis in his contract today before moving on to what, some of the other things that Brett Veach talked about to us with us, Nick?
No, just congrats to him. He's earned it.
He absolutely has. And obviously the Chiefs have some other players to reward too, so we'll see if they get them done. But Patrick, Chris, and Travis have been taken care of. So those were three big ones. But Brett Veach did recap the draft today. Also look a little bit forward to the next few months, OTAs, how things are going to look, where they're going roster-wise, where they kind of have some holes and anything else that they need to get done. To you, Nick, what was your big takeaway outside of the Travis news that Brett had to tell us today?
Yeah, the two things that kind of stuck with me was one, just, well, I mean, he came out and openly said it. So in terms of offensive tackle, it sounds like Kingsley and Wanya, like you and I talked about on the podcast on Sunday, that they're going to compete against each other and that's who the left tackle is going to be, is the winner of that battle. That's kind of what I took away from that. And the next thing was, it sounds like a running back perspective, they're going to let the guys that they have and the UDFAs that they signed, that they're going to make officially signed on Friday. Currently, it's more agreed to terms until they do the physical and sign the pen to paper, which probably won't be until Friday before rookie minicamp starts this upcoming week on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So Carson Steele, it sounds like him and Bailey that they got from TCU, and then the other running backs they have on staff between Ingram, Clyde, Pacheco, and Prince, and I'm maybe Reese Zammit, and I know I'm missing some. Oh, and P. Ryan, that they'll all collectively, and Hassan Hall. So all those guys are collectively going to get the opportunity to kind of honestly compete with who will potentially be the number three behind Clyde and Pacheco right now, and maybe four, depending on how they perform during the stretch between May to July.
Yeah, and I mean, not that you should read anything into these things, but I kind of do sometimes. You know, there's been some questions about, you know, who is going to be coming back. And, you know, and I asked Brett specifically about a Donovan Smith and a Mecole Hardman about whether they could be back. And, you know, his answer was, hey, you know, we want these young guys to compete. So We'll make a decision on that later, maybe even in the training camp. So it certainly seemed like the answer was, hey, unless there's injuries, unless there's guys who fail to learn the offense and pick things up and show that they can play, they're probably not bringing those guys back. But I do find it always interesting, Nick, when you do have your draft class come in and you have some players and veterans who are out there and you start giving their jerseys away. So the fact that Xavier Worthy is wearing Jerick McKinnon's jersey, I do, I mean, that's probably a sign. Mecole Hardman wore two numbers in Kansas City. They've both been given away to rookies. So, like I said, there's not always a 100% connection to that, but I always raises my eyebrow when a veteran that's unsigned has their jersey given away. More often than not, that's telling you something.
And for people that do not have access to social media, we're just going to help you right here, right now. Worthy is set to wear number one. Kingsley's set to wear 76. Jared Wiley is set to wear 12. Hicks is set to wear 21. Norzad set to wear 60. Hayden set to wear 17. That's the cornerback from Tennessee. And then lastly, Hanson set to wear Tim Grunhardl number 61. And it might have been Mitch Morse's 1.2. Among the rookie draft picks, those are the coveted knowledge of what their number will be has now been unlocked.
Yes, and I mean, and you were talking about like the running backs position, and we were both of the same philosophy heading into the draft that the Chiefs really they needed to add some speed there. I'm still not convinced that they have enough speed in that running back room, but I could they won a Super Bowl without a ton of speed last year in the running back room, so it's not I just consider it more of a would be nice to have would be some more speed in that room. Is Luis Riz-Zamet that speed? Nobody knows. I mean, nobody knows if he can play football. I mean, we're going to find out. It's going to be fun to watch, and maybe he is that guy. But at this point, I mean, we're probably nitpicking a little bit because we are talking about a two-time Super Bowl champion and what they're missing out on. Did you hit everything that kind of stood out to you there, Nick, about what Brett said?
Yeah, because, I mean, you brought it up with McColl and Donovan and how they're going to kind of see how OTAs go. The only caveat I'm going to personally use is one, we'll see over here over the next week. Now the draft picks are done. If there's anybody else who gets released or waived that, you know, now they want a new opportunity or they don't feel like the organization's a good fit for them anymore. And then they would like to be released and they'd like to move on. And then an unexpected veteran may become available that way. Or there may be some veterans that are on the trade block right now that we don't know about, and teams are already trying to get ahead to their 2025 draft picks and trying to see if they can get one of those third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or sevenths. So, you know, and I think you and I both know those are probably going to be pretty coveted next year in 2025. Because I'm ashamed to say it. Maybe I already started looking at the 2025 class this morning.
Would you be ashamed of that? That's, you know, our friend Jim Nagy is already starting work on the 2025 Senior Bowl. So,
he's been past that. You remember whenever, for people that don't know, we interviewed him on the interview, said they're already like 80% done with, I think, Power Five. I don't think it's everybody. I think Power Five, they're 80% done scouting with kind of who their targets would be for Senior Bowl.
I saw he had posted his quarterback board on Monday morning. So
outstanding.
What made me think of it? I thought it was interesting, you know, certainly some of the things, because we had not heard from Brett Veach about the day three picks, and we really hadn't heard from anybody on the organization in the last two picks that the Chiefs had in the draft. I did think it was notable that, you know, talking about Jaden Hicks, I mean, that was certainly, as we kind of discussed, one, best available player, getting somebody like that in the fourth round was certainly, you know, a key priority for them. A future depth for safety, I mean, something that they need to. Worth noting, too, I mean, he added that dude is going to be a beast on special teams for Dave Tobe. So not necessarily the reason why you draft a guy, but looking at Hicks, looking at his skill set, looking at his size, oh, yeah, he is going to blow some people up on special teams, Nick.
He's a tempo setter for a reason. He's going to set a tempo in the fourth phase.
Yeah.
The third phase.
and he keeps getting any bigger, that won't be a problem. I also thought it was interesting, you know, he also brought in Lucas Niang to the discussion with the left tackle spot, which I think when you started talking about those numbers, you know, you've got Niang, you've got Morris, you've drafted Kingsley, you know, that has probably exhausted the need for Donovan Smith. And let's face it too, if I'm Donovan Smith, why would I sign with the Chiefs right now? I'm Donovan Smith. I mean, I got my Super Bowl rings. I got a couple of them. Donovan Smith at this point of his career isn't really interested in coming in someplace and competing for a starting job. Right. He expects to start. Yep. So, you know, I mean, unless things change and the Chiefs say, hey, go to him and say, hey, you know what, Donovan, both these guys we've got aren't working out. We want you. I think it's just as much on Donovan, and I think he'd rather be somewhere else where he can play. So it's a two-way street, and that's why another reason why I'm not sure that, hey, even if the Chiefs get to a point in July and August where they want Donovan Smith, might not be available. I mean, he may just decide, hey, I got a better chance to start and play for another team. And frankly, I mean, with a couple of Super Bowl rings, he doesn't have to be too picky. I mean, if he gets a starting job for the Atlanta Falcons, I mean, I'd go do it if I were him. I mean, even though we know the Falcons right now are the most lost team in football.
You're not gonna let that one go anytime.
I am definitely not gonna let that one go.
No, you're about that. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I was interested in like Mekhi Becton for his potential, just how big of a body he was. But he's going to a really good spot with the Eagles, and Jeff Stoutland's gonna do a really good job with him. So we're gonna find out if Becton can play football or not, because Stoutland's either gonna get the best out of him or he's gonna get waived. So like that's, you know, and that's kind of where I don't know if he fully understands that, like, this is for him that, like, going to the Eagles is going to decide your career, because if you get released by them, then there's going to be teams out there that are like, well, if Stoutland doesn't see it, then I don't know what to tell you. So it'll be it'll be interesting where some of these guys end up going landing spot wise, and whenever the compensation formula deadline officially ends, which you and I aren't sure if it's this week or next, but we know it's coming. And then after that, that's whenever you start to see some additions around the league of veterans, and then you'll go, you know, and then I feel like this upcoming weeks are going to be kind of the final weeks of veteran additions until probably before camp.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you'll get a few other, and if there's any additions, usually during OTAs, there's usually a tryout, even during like the mandatory mini camp, where there'll be a couple of players who just come in on a tryout basis. Mm-hmm. But those are usually, obviously, you know, young players who are, you know, roster bouncers, you know, they're going from one club to another trying to look for their opportunity. So it's not like big veterans that are becoming in. I mean, for the most part, you know, the names that you've heard are guys who are going to be competing for jobs this year. I mean, the rookie mini camp is coming up with the undrafted free agents. You know, hey, there's going to be probably an undrafted free agent that makes this team. Every year there's one of them. There's going to be 40 odd guys who are in here on a tryout basis. The chances are against all of them, but sometimes one sneaks through. I mean, Jody Fortson appeared as a tryout player and obviously turned it into a nice little stay, and he's still in the NFL. So we've got some interesting football coming up this weekend, Nick, with the rookie mini camp and the new faces coming in. We're really going to get to see for the first time and how they fit into the Chiefs red. We will see. Anything else popping up on your mind for today's emergency broadcast?
Emergency
podcast. We've never gotten to do an emergency podcast, Nick, so I'm just really excited.
And I can tell. I can tell. You're very enthusiastic about that.
I feel like we need some like bells and whistles or something, you know.
Yeah, that costs licensing.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have much budget here, folks.
Well, it's not that. It's just that, you know. So
I don't pay for any licensing.
So, yeah, and then according to Field Yates, it just got put out here that the Raiders hosted Chargers wide receiver Jaylee Guyton on a free agent visit, which makes sense because the GM's the one who got him, Tyler Telesco, in Los Angeles. But Guyton is a guy I would not be upset about if they added in as a potential veteran. So we'll see. I'll be keeping tabs on if there's going to be any more tours this week. And then, as you and I know, rookie camp is coming up this weekend. And you got a Q&A tomorrow night, I believe, right?
Got a Q&A tomorrow night. And so bring your questions Tuesday evening, starting at 7 o'clock. We will be ready for your questions. Unless there's any other breaking news, probably won't have an emergency podcast the rest of the week. But we will be definitely back in the feed on Sunday after the rookie mini camp to break down all the action and let you know what was observed and seen out there. So that will be a must listen episode. You don't want to miss that, because that's going to be your first observations and takes on the new rookie class, the undrafted free agents, maybe who returned, you know, came in from last year, needed to knock the rust off, or coming back from an injury. We'll tell y'all who was out there for rookie minicamp.
Yep. That's all I got for you, Matt.
There you go. I guess we'll close. It's, you know, you can tell we're in the middle of breaking news, because we're going back and forth on how many years have been added or not added to Travis Kelce's contract. a couple of the reports that said it was an extension are now rephrasing it, that it's been a adjustment or a raise. So there may not be two additional years put on there for cap purposes. Maybe there are, but what we do know is that essentially it's a $4 million raise for Travis Kelce, and the Chiefs could absorb it if it is simply a case of adding it over the next 2 years. They've got the salary caps to cap space to accommodate that. They were already planning on Travis having $30.25 million in cash over the next two seasons. Now it's $34.25 million, and there's a half of that guaranteed. So it's a good deal for Travis, good deal for the Chiefs. How the numbers all shake out, maybe we'll be able to finally break that down for real on Tuesday night. But in the meantime, we appreciate you sitting in here on the emergency podcast of 41 is the Mic.
That's right, Matt. I'm a man of fewer words today, and I got to get to Corner Cafe soon for my dinner.
That is it for us, though. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and we will see you Tuesday night and then back on Sunday for 41 is the Mic.
And until next time, I bid you adieu.
You've been listening to 41 is the Mic, presented by KSHB 41, your home of the Chiefs and Chiefs Digest.